is Corolla Digital.
Hi, folks. It's Larry. Larry Miller. That's right. And I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening. It means the world to us over here. And if you like the show, please tell a friend. That's right. Bring a friend over, and it will really help us grow. And it means a lot to everyone here. So please tell a friend. And, well, that means we'll be able to say for a long time, we'll see you here.
From Level 5 City in Glendale, it's This Week with Larry Miller.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone who just really likes Marines. Hi, folks, and welcome back to This Week with Larry Miller. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And you know something? Once again, that theme makes me smile, makes me happy, and it really takes me out of my low moods and puts me into a high mood. And, of course, they get better every week. That's the Steve Birch Orchestra and the Amy Potter Dancers featuring boy tenor Edward C. Sizeland asking the musical question, why is it a ballpark figure? Well, you know something, Edward? We thought, the Colonel and I thought that was just a dandy question, and we didn't know. Why is it a ballpark figure? I think I've used that before. When people ask you a question, yeah, I said, now you want an exact number or are you looking for a ballpark figure? And I know what I mean when I say that, and you know what you mean when you say it. You mean it's just a guess. You don't know. You want me to give you a rough estimate of the answer to that? Now, why would that be? Why would that be in a ballpark? They know everything about the game and baseball in the ballpark. So why is something you don't know suddenly a ballpark figure? And, you know, Colonel Jeff looked up on Google certain baseball sayings that we didn't know the answer to either of them. When people say, hey, you're way out in left field. You're out in left field on that one, meaning you're wrong or you're crazy. You're in the wrong place. You're just way out in left field. And we found an explanation to that, that in Babe Ruth's days, and I'm a big Babe Ruth fan, by the way, and so this is anything will always be said as a compliment about not only Babe Ruth, but, boy, the Yankees in the 20s. And in any case, Babe Ruth, among so many other things in baseball, was a great hitter and a left-handed hitter. And, well, he was always going to wallop the ball to right field, or sometimes to center field, but there wasn't much that was going to happen in left field. And wherever Babe Ruth went, he was the biggest deal, and everybody wanted to just see him, and they wanted to wave to him, and they wanted to say, hiya, Babe, and all the kids went nuts. All the kids in every city the Yankees stopped in. From 1918 to 1935, whenever, you know, those years when Babe Ruth was just huge there, and all the kids wanted to get a Babe Ruth autograph. And what they used to do was, especially when security was a little lighter in baseball fields, in ballparks, and what they used to do was hang out and hide anywhere around right field. Because if that's where Babe Ruth, that's where the Babe was going to hit the ball, that's where they wanted to be. And they thought they could get closer to him if they could just be somewhere in right field. And when one of the friends, the 10, the 20, the 50, the 100, the 200 kids were trying to hang out near Babe Ruth, and if one of them was in the wrong place at the wrong time, that's when his friends would say, you're way out in left field, meaning even if they weren't out in left field, you were never going to get anything from Babe Ruth if you were way out in left field. And we looked at that and we said, well, that's an interesting little thought, little story about a phrase from baseball. You're out in left field. But then we always wondered, why is it a ballpark figure? And even going to three or four sites on websites on Google, we couldn't get anything that really we thought sounded right. I mean, a ballpark figure. You know, it was the ballpark figure. And one of the explanations was that all the folks from NASA for all the astronaut shots, all the rocket shots through the 50s and through the 60s used to call the ocean the ballpark. Because if they weren't getting it exact, if they weren't getting it to land where they wanted, if it wasn't flying over where it was going to be, if it was in the wrong part of the ocean where it was going to take a while to get a giant battleship there or something where they could really rescue these folks, well, that's what they say. Well, it's in the ballpark. They're, you know, we made a mistake and it's going to land in the ballpark. So when someone said, well, where in the ballpark? Where exactly is it going to land so we can get someone there? The answer was, well, they didn't know. So the answer was, whatever answer they got was going to be a ballpark figure. They were going to say, well, it's about 2,500 miles north of Hawaii. You know, there was just really nothing exact to say that was a ballpark figure. Another little story we got was that a ballpark figure was a rough estimate of attendance that the announcers would always give at the ballpark, that they'd always say, and that always made me interested too, that whenever they say that, well, tonight, of course, we have 43,922 here. And even as a kid or as an adult, I always thought, do you really? Is that what you have? Because, you know, it's okay if you don't know. And so that's what it became known as. Well, that was a ballpark figure that he didn't know really, and he wanted to make it sound pretty good. And in any case, without any explanation at all, I think, and Colonel Jeff thought, that every Edward C. Seisland's question, why is it a ballpark figure, was a pretty good one. So, Edward, we don't know. And we just don't know. We could give you a guess. We've given you a couple already. But those are just ballpark figures. Those are just ballpark guesses. And so, you know what? Good question. I'll use it again, I'm sure. But maybe not so enthusiastically. And I say, well, that's just a ballpark figure. I have a ballpark figure for you. And one of these days, and if you know, remember, please send it to our website, which is LarryMillerPodcast.com. And if you know what it means to say, well, that's just a ballpark figure. So in any case, for right now, good question for our boy tenor, Edward C. Seisland. And we don't know, but pretty darn good musical question. And by Amazon. That's right, Amazon. That's correct, Amazon. Amazon, as you know, is a sponsor of ours, a partner of ours, and we're really glad, and we're happy they are too. And what you do is you go to Amazon on any device you have, any screen you have, and buy anything in the world you want, right? Wrong! That would be stupid. That's not the way you do it. You don't do it that way. What you do is you go to our website again, which, remember, is LarryMillerPodcast.com. Who's on the mountain? Tom Mix. You go to LarryMillerPodcast.com, and we have a banner there that says Amazon. You click on that banner, and we personally take you to Amazon in a very electronic way. And then once you get there on our site, off of LarryMillerPodcast.com, you order anything your imagination can come up with on Amazon, and then everyone's happy. You know who everyone is? You are, because you just got all the things you've always wanted. Amazon is, because they've just sold you all the things they always wanted. And we are, because, ready now, they send us some of the dough. That's right. They give us a percentage of whatever you order, and of course, that makes us very happy, too. Now, we haven't spent any of it yet, but we're going to. One of these days, one of these nights, we're going to have, with Colonel Jeff, rather, and Dr. Chris, and me, and we're going to have another fried chicken dinner with three or four gigantic cocktails beforehand at some of the really cool little places around here. So, in any case, that's why you go to Amazon, and that's why you get it off of our website. And there's something else you can get on our website, by the way, which is PayPal. That's right, PayPal on our website. You go to PayPal, and I haven't talked about this in a while because we didn't want to think we were driving into the ground too hard. You go to PayPal off of LarryMillerPodcast.com at PayPal, and you can be a PayPal of ours. And what we'd like you to think of is that if you wanted to buy us a drink, if you wanted to buy the Colonel, the Doctor, and me a drink, wherever you lived, go to the favorite bar you have. It can be a small bar, a big bar. It doesn't really matter. It can be someplace you've never visited before. Just go there and send us the money for three drinks, for one for each of us. Whatever that is, please send that to us. And one of these days on our next fried chicken dinner, we'll let you know. Well, I'll let you know. Someone's going to let you know exactly what we had to drink off of your dough. And thank you. It's money for us, and it'll be spent wisely. Well, it'll be spent on liquor. You can call that as wise as you want or as silly as you want. In any case, though, that's what PayPal is. And, well, we're happy that PayPal likes us, too, and we like them. So thanks very much. Which leads us naturally to the joke of the week. That's right. It's the joke of the week. The weekly joke, otherwise known as the joke de la week. And it's something I enjoy doing very much. The world of joke telling is so much fun, and it's not just for the laugh. It's so wonderful to see how jokes have always been written, how they've been passed down. Sometimes you hear the jokes I tell. You've heard them before. Sometimes you heard them in elementary school. Sometimes you hear them for the first time. And in any case, they're pretty good. They come from a framework that is just a lot of fun. And so here's this week's joke of the week, which was rattling around in my head for many years. This might have been, in fact, something that I picked up in elementary school. In any case, here it is. And so I'll let you know that again. And here it goes. So in the middle of World War II, in the middle of Germany, there are two German... Oh, let me start it again. So here we go. In the middle of World War II, in the middle of Germany, there are two Jewish rebels who go around Germany trying to blow up every Nazi train they can, trying to blow up every Nazi building they can, and they're finally hunted down by the Germans, by the Nazis, by the SS. And these are two young Jewish men in their 20s, and they get bagged by the Nazis, and there was not going to be a trial, and they were just going to stand them up against a wall in a part of town that was already sort of blown apart, that maybe these guys had blown apart. And they stand them up against the wall, and the officer starts to line up the men to shoot them, and one of the young Jewish men just takes a step forward and says, "I'm going to tell you something now, and I just don't care anymore. Yes, we're Jews. Yes, we're in trouble. I don't care, though, because you're wrong. You've always been wrong. You always will be wrong. Someday, when you meet God, he will tell you you're wrong. Right now, I'm telling you you're wrong and you're rotten, and it doesn't matter who you are. You're the lowest of the low, and I hate you, and nothing matters between you and me. I'm not going to say anything else except I hate you and damn you forever." And his friend reaches out and grabs his coat and says, "A.B., don't cause trouble." I like that joke a lot whenever I heard it. It's just another good joke. Sometimes, of course, jokes are ethnic. It's just fun and funny to think of, no matter what the situation. These two were essentially just a couple of decent guys who the one I worried about is, look, just don't annoy the guy. Otherwise, God only knows what'll happen to us. You mean instead of them shooting us right here, right now? So in any case, that's a pretty good joke, and I like it very much. All right, which naturally leads, of course, if you're going to have a joke of the week, what better follow-up than the poetry corner? That's right, the weekly poetry corner. And it is wonderful, because poetry, like a great joke, a good poem, and a great poem, is another way to look at life. It's another way to think about life. And when the greatest poets and authors of all time really get their heads right, and write something beautiful. Well, you know what? It sure is nice to know that it can be down forever as a poem and that I can read it to you. And here's one that, well, I guess everything William Shakespeare wrote could be called a classic. But as you know, that fella, boy, William Shakespeare, 38 plays, 154 sonnets and other poems and many, many things. A great way for him to think and be. And you know what, though? He wrote this one. This is Sonnet 18, and it's worth your time and my time today. And the title is, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day? And here we go. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest. Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. Isn't that nice? Once again, a different way to look at love is a fella saying, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? That's a lot better than anything I ever came up with, by the way, if you want to call someone up and say, did you have a good time last night? You know, it's not exactly the same thing. But what a beautiful poem. What a nice thought. No matter what else happens, no matter how cold it gets, no matter how hot the eye of heaven shines and makes it a really, really hot day, you know what? None of that matters. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. So thanks again, folks, for giving us and me a chance to read that to you. And thanks again, William Shakespeare, the Bard of Avon. And you know what? That was pretty good when they said Avon calling in those days. It was pretty good, and it was worth it. And that leads us to something that's also, well, pretty great and worth it to me. Another section of the show I just love doing called The Magic Movie Moment. That's right. It's a magic movie moment. I love movies, and you love movies. And when a movie is really great, when it moves us, and when it makes us think or makes us happy or it makes us sad in a great way, we think sometimes there's a scene in that movie. I must have seen that movie 25 times, and there's a scene I look forward to every time, every single time. And you know what? There is nothing better than that scene or that storyline or that one moment when one actor looks at another actor or an actress says something. It means something to you. And please send these in once again, if you have one, to our website, LarryMillerPodcast.com. If you have a magic movie moment, and you know what? I have one now for you, and it's from West Side Story, which was in 1961. It's so many talented people involved in that. Good Lord, writing the music, Leonard Bernstein, and then, oh, for crying out loud, the direction, the cast is so great. And in this case, it teaches me something about love every time I see it. And this is, of course, the love between Richard Beamer and Natalie Wood. And they are, it is something, well, you just don't see much in life at all, or maybe at all in life, but I buy it every time I see it in this movie. It's the classic, well, love at first sight. They see each other at that first dance when they meet. It's beautifully directed. It's well lit. It's so well acted. And they fall in love the second they see each other across the dance floor. Well, her family is in one gang and his family is in another. And it's it's such a movie worth seeing in so many ways. Good Lord. It's true to say, well, it's based on Romeo and Juliet. Yes, it's true. But you know what? As great as that story is, and as great as that Shakespeare play is, and as great as everything about Romeo and Juliet has always been, this movie, West Side Story, takes it to such a level. And it's so wonderful to think, for the first time in a way, what does their love mean? Am I in love like that? Will I be in love like that? Could I be in love like that? To see love at first sight that way. And you know something? Yes, they're actors. Yes, it's just being shot on stages and on location. But you know what? Everything from the shooting in it to the actors is so good. When Natalie Wood looks at him, or she looks up and thinks and starts to sing about how much they love each other and what their future could be, you know something? That girl is gorgeous and her heart just flies. And you think to yourself, that is someone you really could fall in love with, not only at first sight, but forever and ever. And you know what? That's why today's magic movie moment for me is the chance to see Natalie Wood look at Richard Beamer and for them to look at each other and to love each other and to say, no matter what is going on with our friends and loved ones for this big gang war they're planning, no matter what happens, we can make it better. And you know what? To have that clarity in your attitude, to think we can make it better. Our love can conquer all. And you know what? We will conquer all, and then we will go off into the world and make the world ours as well. It's a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful part of a great movie. And you know what? It will always be a magic movie moment to me to look forward to. Soon they're going to see each other, and they're going to be stricken completely with love. And soon he's going to find her in the dress shop and where she's already singing about how someone she just met to her friends. And so many of the cast. Rita Moreno, who's always been a great actress, and my wife, in fact, wrote a great show for her. And I've had a chance to meet with her a couple of times, and I just adore her. And the point is, though, she is so, in this movie, Rita Moreno is tough and wild-hearted and loyal, and she loves her boyfriend, too. And I won't tell you how any of this works out. You probably ought to know, but see the movie sometime if you haven't. See it if you haven't. And you know what, though? West Side Story from 1961. What a time there. Think of the time in America. John Kennedy was newly president of the United States. And so many things were happening before the meat of the 60s we can all look back on and look forward from. But this movie, for one of the most important themes of all time, love, and will always be important to you. If you're sane and if you have a good heart and if your eye is right where it should be on the future, and if you're smiling at the thought of it, see it sometime, because, boy, that could be a magic movie moment for you about how these two fall in love and how it's shown in their faces, and especially her face. The purity and the heart that she puts into it is something, well worth seeing. It's worth the price of the whole movie. So that's our music, and that's our magic movie moment today. And, you know, it's interesting because two things have happened to me in the last few days. And, well, I'll give you an example, and it shows you how complicated, how interesting life can be. My wife signed me up for a local diet plan here in Southern California, in Los Angeles, in our neighborhood. And she's right. You know, ever since I hurt my head and had to go running around trying to find my brain again, and Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm 10, 20, 25 pounds heavier than I want to be. And you know what? These folks can really help. And I went down there today, and it's one of those moments where as you walk in, my wife had been in this place. She is going to join up too, and she knows these folks because she's already been in this. She walked in there. It's one of these, nothing wrong with this, but as soon as she walked in and said hi to everyone, there are two women behind the desk, and there are two technicians there as women, and they come in, and then a couple of nurses and one of the doctors, and they're all women. And just from the way they talk to each other, just from the way they spoke to my wife, and my wife spoke to them, and there was a, oh, you're so-and-so still pregnant. She, oh, you're still pregnant? I thought you were giving birth already. And they just the way they were speaking to each other, I said to my wife, I tapped her on the shoulder, and I said, so by signing me up today, do I get any extra gift for being the first man ever to enter this building? Because that's what it felt like to me. It felt like, you know, this was a clubhouse. And you know what? It's going to be dandy there. It's going to be fine. And it's going to be a great way to help you focus and lose a few pounds. And when I finished there with my wife, we both drove back home, and the kids... No greater luxury than letting kids sleep late, if you know what I mean. School hasn't started yet for us. I know a lot of the crazy schools have already started, but it's so nice to let the kids sleep in. And instead of giving a chance to make them breakfast the way I always like to do, I had to let my older boy make something fast for himself, because as soon as we got home, his day started with being picked up in a car that pulled into our driveway, which had two Marines in it. And they got out of the car, and they looked. They didn't have their uniforms on because this was sort of, well, an exam day for them. They were two muscular Marines, and they were there to pick up my son because last week we signed him up for the Marines. That's what he wants to be, and... He's going into his senior year in high school, by the way, and you can do that. It's a certain program they have, and this time next year, he'll be in boot camp. And we had discussions with him. I had a couple of discussions with him where I said, you know, don't you want to go to college? And, you know, then you could join the ROTC. You could do anything. You could be in the platoon leadership program, and you'd still be a Marine, but you'd go through college, and then you'd have big training sessions during college, and then when you get out of college, you'll be a Marine. You'll be an officer. You'll be getting ideas. And I said, you have to understand, college is terrific. And he said to me, he's a very sweet kid, and he just said to me, what's so good about college? And I said, well, first of all, and then I looked at him for a second and just said, oh, join the Marines. You know, there's nothing I could say. What can you say to someone who says, what's so good about college? You know, because there's probably not, all I could say to him was, don't you want to be sitting on the roof of the fraternity someday and throw a candy machine off and watch it slide down the angled part of the roof? Don't you want to do that? And the answer is, no. Why did you do it? Well, because that's the idea we had. Maybe it was my idea. Who knows? But you know what? Don't you want to be sitting up there on the roof again? It was always the roof of the fraternity with us, by the way. You bring a keg of beer up there and a box of bottle rockets, and you shoot bottle rockets down onto the cars on Route 9 because those are people going to work, and you've been up all night emptying the keg of beer. Don't you want to do that? Well, I didn't tell him that because I don't want him to do that. And you know what, though? I'm very proud of him. He's a good soul. He's a sweet kid. And he's a patriot. He wants to be part of the cure. And so that's what he's starting to do today. And as we're speaking now, he's going to his Marine exam, and they're going to take a look at him. And they're going to say, hey, this kid's a good athlete. This kid is strong as a bull. And you know what? We'd like him in the Marines, too, as much as he wants to be in the Marines. And so, well, there you are. In a way, that's what it means to be a family man in modern life in America, especially Southern California. Well, your day starts with you talking to some diet people, and they tell you how often they're going to give you a shot of B12, And that's all fine. I'm not making fun of that. That's dandy. They're a good group of folks. But you know what? Just while I'm doing that and while they're doing that, I'm very proud that someone else is going to be a Marine. So I'll let you know along the way just about, well, what happens and what looks like it's about to happen. But he's, as I said, he's not the angry, violent type. It's just that he knows someone has to step forward and say, I'll do it. I'll help. And so I already know he knows that Shakespeare is Shakespeare, and Homer is Homer, and Pluto is a planet. So, as always, folks, remember, if you walked out of bed today and had a job to go to and a home to come back to and someone there who cares about you, folks, the game's over and you've won. And that is still the truest thing I know. Be well. We'll see you here next week on This Week with Larry Miller.
Transcribed for Armed Forces Radio, now in mono.